I want to talk to us in the title of my sermon, I don't know. So the title is, The Pastor Doesn't Know. So that's the title. At the end of it, you put what you think is the title. But for now, let's say we don't have title, right? Okay. But we have a text, though, that's 3 John chapter 4. Have you seen 3 John chapter 4? Have you ever read chapter 4 of 3 John, John? You have not? Are you sure? 3 John chapter 4. If you have seen it, let me see your hand up. Verse 3. 3 John verse 3. And I'm reading a amplified version. They call it classical edition. The first one that came out. They call it classical edition. In fact, I greatly rejoiced when some of the brethren from time to time arrived and spoke so highly of the sincerity and fidelity of your life. This is a little different from the amplified you have. Okay, now this is it. Fidelity of your life, as indeed you do live in the truth. And then it says, this is talking about the whole truth that the gospel presents. You live in the entire truth. In the entire truth that the gospel, what? Presents. When we talk about, or teaching about sanctification, we made mention that sanctification is not being another Pharisee. It's not being another sanctimonious Christian that is interested in outward show of worship. It is transforming to the fullness of Christ, the entire spectrum of the life of Christ, his power, his faith, everything that Christ did. That's what it is. It's not trying to be quiet and trying to do this, but you are defeated all the time. That's not what it is. It is transforming into the full image of Christ, into the full power, into the full glory of Jesus Christ. If I'm living like Jesus lived. And so the writer of John said, I'm so grateful that my children are walking in the fullness of everything the gospel presents to them. All of it. And these blessings came to us through the gospel. When we receive the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive this entire spectrum of what the gospel brought mankind. All of it was given to us. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 9 says, dear friends, that is New Living Translation. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident. Everybody say confident. We are confident that you are meant for better things. Things that come with what? Salvation. There are things that came to you with salvation. The Bible says there are better things. You know, my son Onyechukwu asked me many years back. He said, Daddy, why do preachers preach to Christians like heathens? I didn't understand it then. It was only last week I understood it. Only last week. And the Lord said to me, I gave that boy a revelation many years back. It didn't happen. He asked me, he said, Daddy, why do preachers preach to Christians like they are what? Heathens. I didn't get it. Well, I was mumbling. I don't even know what I answered him. But only last week, the Lord brought that thing back to me and showed me that the boy was correct. He said, I spoke to him. That's for another day. Praise the Lord. But there are better things. He said, listen, I expect, I'm talking of better things. Better things that came. It came with salvation. The day you received the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day you said you were saved, there were better things that also came along with it. And those things came because you received the gospel of our Lord. Before you received the gospel, you didn't have them. You didn't have them. But the moment you receive the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they became yours. And so in Acts chapter 20, 32, Paul is telling the church that their inheritance comes from the word of grace. And the word of grace is the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I entrust you New Living Translation. Did you get the download? Okay, good. And now I entrust you to God and the message of what? His grace. He's talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the gospel that is able to build you up and not just build you. There are some other things it does. That verse is not ended. That is able to build you up and give you and what? Inheritance with all those who are set apart for himself. Those who have come to him, who belong to him. Those who have received the same word of grace you received. He said, it is through this word that this inheritance comes to you. He used the word inheritance. Now, I want to ask us a question. Do you buy inheritance? Right? Now, supposing your father left you an inheritance, and then you are packing some money to go home, and your wife says, what are you going home? Say, I want to go and buy that inheritance my father gave me. What will your wife do? He will call intervention immediately. Intervention must come. Because you are doing something unusual. You don't buy an inheritance. You go take it. You don't buy an inheritance. If God says this is an inheritance, that's what exactly it is. If it wasn't so, God would tell us. He said, all your blessings from me is an inheritance. You don't buy it. You don't make even effort. You just go home and it's all yours. Praise the Lord. So the blessings of God, the better things he's talking about that came with salvation, including salvation itself, is an inheritance. Can you say with me, this is an inheritance? Say it louder, come on. And it all belongs to me. It came with salvation. And say amen to that. Look at Romans 8, 16 to 17, just in case, so we'll get clear how this thing came to us. Romans 8, 16. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are now what? God's children. Are we God's children? Now, because we are children, because inheritance usually goes to children. It doesn't go to outsiders. It can go to outsiders if you want to. Like one woman that wrote $13 million to her dog. And when she died, the children went to court and won. The children went to court and said our mommy was mentally unstable. Because there's no way she can will $13 million to a dog and give nothing to us. So all the children came together and said, we're children, we're heirs. And they went to court. And I don't want to tell you how American court system works. Sometimes when they see some things, the judges make the law themselves. They use anything they see to correct something they know is not right. Any loophole the judge sees, like, how can a woman give $13 million to a dog and nothing to the children? If I'm a judge, I will turn it around. So somehow, the children won, so the dog lost. The dog lost. Even that dog is so blessed because if he goes to my village, he will lose some more. If he ever goes to my village, he will lose his life. There's no question. If he ever touches a kulobi, it's gone. There's no question about that. It's gone. A kulobi, it's gone. Don't even talk about it. So, inheritance belongs to the children. That's why the children went to court. I didn't hear that anybody else went to court except the children of the woman. Because they said, we're children. This is ours. We're not letting any dog take nothing. So they went to court. So the Bible says, Romans 8:16. Put it back, please. And since we are his what? Children first. We are then what? His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his what? So what he's saying is, you can't be a fair weather Christian. You don't back out because challenges come. He said you got to share in the suffering that this thing brings. People will challenge you. Things will challenge you. A lot of challenges will come to challenge your faith. He said you don't back out. You don't say I'm no more part of it because of these things. He said, if you back out, you back out of your blessing. But because we are children, all the blessings are ours. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
1 o'clock, 1 a.m. yesterday, I was sitting up. I was almost crying. I said to God, I've said this over and over. I felt so low in my spirit. I said, God, you give me this to say it again. I've said it over and over. I was so low, I prayed and I went and slept off. I'm not kidding. I said to God, there has to be a way you can help me. I said, you sent me to say this something. I've told them this over and over and over and over and over. That this is their own. So then say it again. But the point is that we must understand what the gospel is saying. We must what? Understand what the gospel is saying. I stood there on Thursday. I was pleading with us. Get serious with God. Stop doing religion. Stop doing rituals. You have only one life. I'm begging you. You have only one life. And nobody knows when this thing ends. If you can get it right, why don't you get it right? Why do you have to go through rituals and lose it? The word God gave me is unused blessing. So a lot of them have unused blessing. Make effort for God's sake. Because it is your... These children, their mother gave something to a dog. They made the effort and said, no, no, no. It's our property. We take it back. You must make effort to understand the gospel. You must make effort to understand the gospel. The gospel is the whole Bible. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's about his grace. It's about the marvelous things God did for mankind. Unbelievable stuff that God did for us. Oh, that is totally out of, you can't even begin to imagine what God did for you in Jesus Christ. It's beyond human understanding. It's unimaginable. It's unused. Lying fallow. I remember John Crouch. When she went to thank God for healing her for cancer. And the Lord said, thank you for using my blessing. It would have lied fallow there. He said, thank you for taking what I paid for. I died for it. He took my life to provide it for you. He said, I'm grateful you received it. I'm begging us, please. Let's be serious. This is about our life. It's about our life. And challenges of life do come. They come in ways you don't even know. You just wake up, what wasn't happening yesterday, just all of a sudden, that's happening. That's not when to go and start to begin to load. No, no, no. You have already gotten ready before the thing comes. As I'm begging you, it's like, it's about your life, for God's sake. It's about your life. It's just about your life. That's what it is. So we must make effort. We must make effort to understand the gospel. Understand this word of grace that gives me this inheritance. This word of grace that builds me up as a Christian. What is it? What is it? So first of all, we must know what God has given us and be conversant with it and believe it is our own. If those children were not sure, that 13 million was their own, they won't go to court. They will go nowhere. They will let a dog take it. If you don't know what belongs to you, believe you, me, won't fight for it. You will let it go and rationalize it and be doing ritual, which is totally useless. I wake up at 1 and do this. Wake up. It's absolute rubbish. Do this 10 times. Totally nonsense. The thing has already been given to you. You don't need this 10 times thing. It's already yours. Because you are a child, you are a heir. Period. Already given. Because you are a child of God, then you are what? A heir. It's yours. Jesus willed it to you. When he died, he signed it with his blood and said, all mine are now yours. Take it. You are now my brethren. I am not ashamed to call you what? Brothers. Come and enjoy what God gave. It's all yours. You wake up. You think it's your prayer that make it work. You think it's your fasting that make it work. And one unbelieving, useless preacher is telling you rubbish, punishing you for nothing. And you go to buy your inheritance? Something is wrong up here. You want to buy your inheritance? God said, no, it's your inheritance. You don't buy nothing. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know. See, one of the reasons God gave us the spirit? So that we will know the things that you are going to pay for to be given, right? The things that have been. Come on, is it past tense? Have been what? Freely given to us by God himself. It's been given. All this work that I wake up, you think you are just being ignorant. You think it's you punish yourself because you deprive yourself of much deserved rest and sleep. That's why God will wake up and say, okay, hey, see how much he suffered. Okay, and Jeremiah, remember him. And then you go and be singing, remember me, oh Lord, remember. When you go to take your inheritance in the family, you stand there and say to your late father, remember me, late father. All the village will call you inside. I say, my friend, this thing you are doing is unusual. The thing is already yours. No, they call, your father is dead, he's gone. He willed it to you. Jesus willed it to us. The New Testament is called the Testament and Will. You will. We are joined here. It belongs to him. He says, I'm not ashamed to call you brothers. You come. He said, I go to your father, my father now. We are the same family. So come and share this in this part of you. Take it. Sign with his blood. Hand it over to me. Hand it over to you. The things that came with salvation. Better things. All of it. See the prodigal son, the senior brother, is worse than him. Because the senior brother has a religious spirit. It represents Christians with religious spirit. So when they spurn the grace of God, they don't have respect for the grace of God. When the father showed mercy on his brother, the senior brother got mad for the mess. He thinks he's too much. And then the father said, do you know all these things belong to you? You never even asked one. And then what did he do? He backslid. He left the family, didn't come back. That's what religious people do. When you talk of grace of God, the frown, say, I think I merit this thing. One man, it's unfortunate that a human being says such a thing. He said, this grace you people are talking. He said, how did I keep myself all this while I was a youth copper? Like, didn't I keep myself? That's what he said. He thought he kept himself. He didn't know it was the grace of God that kept him. Religious people spurn the grace of God because they want to, their pride is unbelievable. They want to rise up. You see the temptation that the devil gave to Eve, still giving it to people. You are like God. They want to rise up and say, God, I'm the same thing with you. I don't need your grace. I've worked myself into this position. So I now merit. No, sir. You don't merit it. It is already given. The things that have been freely given. Your fasting didn't make it happen. It came through the grace of God. It came through the gospel. It came through the word of his grace. It is an act of mercy. You receive it like that or you're out of it. If you are sleeping, say amen. So we must understand the gospel. I can't say it enough. I walked in ignorance for many years as a Christian, even as a pastor, until God began to open my eyes that you have inheritance in Christ. It's there. Stop killing yourself. It's already given to you. It is freely given. You don't pay for it. No amount of payment is required. No amount of sacrifice on your part is required. It's already been paid for and paid in full by the only price that can pay for it. But you know, if you don't understand the gospel, and let me tell you something, many people don't understand the gospel. A pastor friend of mine, I was talking with him. He said, Pastor, he said, I give God glory for your life. He said, you know, we feed off what you people teach in that church. He said, I went to a whole convention of youths. Listen to this. And I was telling them that Jesus died for us freely. That God has brought us blessing freely. He said, Pastor, do you know? They said no. He said, you cannot believe this. He said, many of them came out and said, we have never had anything like this. And then they're telling him, he said, are you telling us we have, what did you say, gave us free? So are you telling us we can commit sin? He said, no, I'm not telling you we're sin, I gave it to you free. When you came to him, he washed away your sin, made you a child of God, gave it to you free. What did you do to get saved? Only believe. Only believe. And you shall be saved. He said, do you know they didn't accept it? I mean, this is convention of youths. And my question is, are they really saved? See my point? One day I sat, I was almost crying. I said, Lord, again? Again? I don't know how many people sit in churches who are not even saved. We are just religious people. Matthew 13:18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was what? Planted in their heart. Do you know the gospel is the message of the kingdom? When Jesus came here, he was talking to us that the kingdom of God is what? Is here. What you are benefiting are the benefits of the kingdom. You are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have redemption and forgiveness. Is the word, is the gospel, is the gospel, is the message of the kingdom of God here on earth right now, being run by the church. That's why I say we reign on earth. We are children of the kingdom. So he said, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer. Planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. What is the problem here? They don't understand it. So what happens because they don't understand it? Then the devil, the evil one comes, snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart. And I have a question to you. If there's a seed in your heart and somebody takes it away. Can you tell me how you bear fruit? Explain to me how the fruit will come. Do you see why people are in church? They don't change. 10 years, in fact, some get worse. Because there's no seed to bear any fruit, anything. Seed, nothing. The same quarrelsome person. The only difference, he has learned some Pentecostal language and behavioral patterns. And then, I'm not kidding you. There is no love. You can't see love. You can't, nothing. The character of Christ is totally lacking. If you correct it, but you get angry immediately. 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 I don't know how a farmer can go. You put seed in the soil, and somebody came and took it, and then you still go there and be looking for fruit. Verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. After hearing the message of faith, they are very excited. Whoa, they say, man, I believe. Do you believe? Yay! We are moving higher. Yes, pastor, preach it. You know, I don't bother with things like that. I've seen a lot of that stuff. You can get excited in your emotions. It still won't pay you anything. Because that thing is going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged now. When the emotions die down and you're home alone. Yep. And the devil makes things worse. So let's see if you stay understand. Look at it. He said, with joy. With joy. But 21. Can we read verse 21 together? But since what? They don't have deep roots. They don't last long. Bible study, they won't come. Sunday school, they are not there. All the things, avenues God has made for them to. Let me tell you something. You need to nail down your faith. Because gust of challenge will come up against it. You need to what? Tack it down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to knock it down. Bam, 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 bam. And how do you do that? The more you hear it, the more you are knocking it down. You need to nail it and nail it. And the Bible says it must be deep and rooted and grounded. Because a gust of challenge will come. It will come. Really? It does come. It's not rooted. How do you root it? Submit yourself to the word of God. God said, don't forget the assembling of yourselves. What? Together. He said, I'll put teachers among you who will teach you this thing. Go there. Obey those in authority. And they say, well, Bible study on this. They say, pastor, I don't have time for it. All right, let me see how I get rooted. I would like to see how you get rooted. God has said, look, those people have been given their giftings so that they will teach you so you become matured. Can I hear amen here? God doesn't change his word. His word is yea. If you don't take his method, you devise your own method, you're your own. Because without humility, you can't get revelation. You won't. Proud people don't get revelation. Jesus said, I thank you, you've revealed this to babes. Those who have the heart of children. Those who are not too smart. Those who say, I don't know. It's not rooted. It's not tacked down. It's not nailed down. When you hear the word of God, you can hear some truth. Look, you need to hear it again and again and more again. You are tacking it down. You are beep, beep, because if you don't tack it down, there's a gust of challenge that will come. Boom, the thing will blow it off. And it's happening so many places. So many places. I told you, I said, I said, Lord, and then they think it's somebody's problem. No, it's you that doesn't have faith. Because it's your faith that will give you your victory. It's not my faith. It's your own. I too have challenges. If I tell you some of them, humongous. The Bible says if you remind them of these things, you are a good minister of the gospel. Keep reminding them. Keep teaching it. Keep saying it. Because it needs to be rooted and grounded. The more you hear, the more you are watering the seed. Pouring the water. Pouring the water. See, are they teaching the same thing? Yes, that's what God says. Remind them. He says, you're a good minister. Keep reminding them. Because if they forget it, they deceive themselves. So, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have what? Problems. That's it. As soon as problems come. Who is causing the problem? The enemy is coming now. He will challenge it. All are persecuted for believing God's word. Soon as challenges come. Say, there's no anointing here. No, there's not. There's, the anointing is there. You have no faith. Be running around and be looking for anointing. Instead of developing your faith, instead of understanding the word, you don't have the seed in you. Do you think it's running around and produce the seed? No. You must come back to the seed. If you like, run from here to Jericho. Jericho to Jacob. You must come back to what God said. Put the seed in you. Let my word dwell richly. Have understanding. You run away from it, be walking around. Say we are here. You know, I keep telling people I'm here now. We're here. We'll be going around. After going around, I'm waiting for you. Because you will come. Many have gone around. I know how they come back. Now. When they come back, they say, Pastor, hey, Pastor, I missed you. I tell them, me, I miss you too. Because I know what I know. They know what they know. Everyone knows they've gone around and they've seen a lot. Then some of them who are sincere will come and tell me, Pastor, you know that thing you tell us is right. I say, now you don't. Will you now settle down? Because when you marry two wives, when they have chopped your money, when they have punished you for nothing, for what is free, what has been given to you, go for the prophet who will make you. You don't need a prophet, you're already yours. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. It says, the seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life. They have a lot of their doing. Pastor, I don't have time for Bible study. You know, Pastor, you know, God understands. Yeah, I will tell you, yeah, God understands. Go ahead. But he wrote the Bible. Cares of this world. What? This boy, when he came here, so stepped into this place, he was doing a program in New York, walking. He will go from New York and rush here to for Bible studies. He told me, he said, Pastor, for the first time I bought a notebook. Right? Yeah, laugh. He will a notebook to make notes. He will go from New York, come here and sit down. And now he comes from Pennsylvania on call. He will come from Pennsylvania. Sit there immediately. Even if it's 10 minutes he meets, he will drive that distance and sit there. God bless you. And all I want you to know is when he opens his mouth, you will know that the word is a lot. I can show you people like that. Let me tell you something, children of God. If it's not important to you, God will give it to you. I'm not kidding you. If you don't pay the price for it, all these excuses you are giving is the same excuses for which you won't experience them. Again, it's your life now. Praise the Lord. I have somebody who came to me. He said, Pastor, I've been wanting to see you. I know those kind of wanting to see. So finally, oh, God of mercy. I said, okay, come, let's talk. And then we sat down. Then he began to tell me, hey, God told me that if only you pray for me, this thing will happen. I said, God told you that? He said, yeah, Pastor, God told you. I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I deal with this? The Lord said, that's how it's going around. He told me, he said, he came and saw what happened at the Roman conference and thinks you have too much anointing. That's why he came. He said, he saw it. He said, he walked by sight. And this person is so empty that I didn't even know where to start. I'm not kidding you. And I said, let me give you scriptures. Do you know how to receive things from God? No. Do you know how to keep it? No. I said, so why are you here? So I said, let me give you scriptures. You go and study them. When your faith rises, you come. You do the prayer. I will say amen with you. Your prayer works like my own. Case closed. See you tomorrow. That was the end of the matter. Praise the Lord. Because he wants to join me in the list of the men that he has gone to. I refuse to be in that list. I said, no, I'm not part of it. Be going for men and men. Look for men. Look for men. Go and seek the word. Go and get the seed in you. Because that's what will build your faith. And once your faith comes up, your miracle comes with it. So a lot of things crowded this now, business of... I want to ask us one question. When the things of life hit you, is it your job that takes care or do you call on God? So God is partier. It's partier now. We become frantic then. But when God is saying, don't let this business of world take away my word from you. Please, don't let it happen. You won't listen. You won't listen now. But when the things happen, you're looking for who to blame except yourself. I mean, let's be frank this morning. Let's tell it as it is. Worries of this life and lure of wealth. Lure of what? Lure of what? Lure. America. That's where we're. Lure of wealth. You are building 5 houses. You won't have time for God. So no fruit is produced. That's the result of it. No fruit what? I want you to say it. So what? That's the end of it. I don't blame one madman that went to where somebody died in the village. You know how people are crying. So the man went and said to them, he said to the madman, he said, all these names they are calling you, don't even answer them. He said, one thing is when they put you in that ground, they must put your car and your house with you. Don't leave you anything here for these people, you say. So let them put all your houses, and you must count them. So make sure you are taking everything. You know it's the devil mocking people. That's real mockery from Satan. It's real mockery. Yet God says, seek you first what? No, we won't seek. Because we are building more houses. And you want every other thing added? He said, produces no fruit. Produces no fruit. Verse 23. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and what? Understand God's word and then produce a harvest. Produces a harvest. And the tragedy of it all is that it is this fruit that will produce your prosperity for you. The Bible calls it good success. It is this fruit. All this, I tell people, I say, all this suffering and big. That's not how God works. If you really want to see God works, you are at rest. And God will do things for you that will be a testimony. Once it's God, it's normal, it's not usual. Never. Impossible. All the things you are spending 34 hours working, God can open a door for you that will give you 100 times that thing without sweating. Without sweating. And when you tell the story, it will challenge the faith of people. I've said it here. Thursday, I was sharing. I said, look at this young man that passed, that's a musician, that sang all manner of hymns. What's his name? Jim Crouch. God gave him, I said, it's what God gives you, we used to bless him. God gave him gift of music, and he used it to serve God. He followed Billy Graham all over, playing during crusades. Now, let me ask you, when you look at it, doesn't it look foolish? Right? He's following Billy Graham and getting nothing. not following the manner, from country to, if you are his mother, will you not call him home? And say, my friend, this thing you are doing, your brothers need school fees. But listen to this, brother. When he plays that music, once God blesses it, when he goes out there, the thing sells millions. He died a multimillionaire. And let me tell you, when God was talking to me about it, he said, people are foolish. He said, they suffer for nothing. He said, do you know after his death, all his work is still bringing thousands to his family? Still bringing. Because it's of God. Till today, royalty from his work is running into his children who need to work. Why do we prefer killing ourselves to the flourishing of the Holy Spirit? Why don't you even try God? And say, Lord, my secretary in Lagos, I don't forget that girl. She was working for a doctor. And then she came to me, she said, I resigned my job. I said, why? I said, nothing stopped me from Bible studies. I said, you did that? He said, yeah. You know her. And then she said, since this is a new church, he said, let me serve you as secretary. Don't pay. This church is new. We didn't have money. He said, let me be the church secretary. We didn't even have office. So Marcy became my secretary. Listen to this. Marcy. It's not mercy, my friend. We call it Marcy. I came here before you, so I teach you what. Don't tell them what I said. Marcy. So Marcy. Who is saying mercy? I married from a Kulobia. That's what I had. Mercy. So that's what they call. So mercy. Okay. Mercy. Became my secretary, right? I want you to listen to this story. She continued to serve until the church grew and the church put her on salary. Listen. She remained there, got married. Her salary grew so much that all her contemporaries didn't earn half of what she was earning. Listen to this. Her contemporaries have all retired. Mercy stayed there. As I'm talking to you, she stayed there. And she's earning incredible salary. When she wedded, the church rose together. Her wedding was free. When she was sick, people contributed money. She had surgery free. Her mate in First Bank had been fired. She stayed there. You know what I'm telling you? Wisdom is hidden from the prophet. If God wants to promote you, he will show you wisdom. But it looks foolish. See her choice. Her choice 20-something years ago. See what they're still producing today. Pastor Tunde told me, say, if you know her salary, he said, Pastor, many bankers don't take it. And she stayed there. Not only is she there, she's healthy, she's bouncing, she's everything. Why do we choose the world of the flesh that profits nothing? Why don't you do what God says? See, we say we believe in God, but we don't believe what he says. Because we don't trust him. Say, if I do that, who will feed me? Who has been feeding you before? You believe in God? Every day. I saw that. Did I dance? If you notice me, I was just. Because that 1 o'clock thing was still with me. I was just there watching it. If you watch me, did I come out here? I said, really? 247. God said, not too far. Come to Bible studies. That's it. And God used that boy to challenge us. Say, you people don't know me. That's what he was talking. When he was talking, I knew God was inspiring. I said, go to him. He said, do you know me? Do you know who you're worshiping? That's what he was asking us. He said, do you know me? So you call me awesome. Do you know me? If I'm awesome, why don't you do what I said? Why can't you trust your life with me? Why don't you trust your future with me? Why don't you trust your income with me? Why don't you do what I said? Why don't you come I said, come. Don't neglect the gathering of yourself together. I put people to teach you so you mature. I want to bring you into your inheritance. I want to teach you so you have understanding. And you tack it down. Tack it down. Because that's how these blessings will flow. You won't listen. You make your own choice. Tomorrow you blame God. Then you said, I think 30 days fasting will do that. You're wasting your time. Proverbs 4:20. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Let's stop playing games. It's your life. It's affecting you. It's affecting you, I'm telling you. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to my words. Oh, no. Some of us don't even study Bible. Read Bible, okay. You're too busy. The Bible said, then no fruit is produced. But now I'm not done. Proverbs 4. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Mm-hmm. Why should I do that? Verse 21 says, let me read it from here. Keep my message in plain view at all times. You jump from New Living Translation to Message. Let's keep it. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate what? Did you see what I was about? Tacking it down? You got to nail it down. You see, it has to penetrate. Don't leave it on the surface because cost of challenge will come and throw it off. You got to penetrate. It's okay. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Tack it down. Knock it in. Nail it down. Don't leave your zinc loose. Because wind comes, you blow it. Nail it down. It has to penetrate into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them. You know the word find is those who understand it. Those who want to know it. You are looking for it. It's important for you. You want to know it. It makes you get up your house and come and study. It makes you say, Lord, I need to know. I'm going to study it. I want to find it. Then it makes you begin to pray. Open my eyes that I will know. It drives you to that point. It drove David to that point. David said, open my ears. Open my eyes that I will see wondrous. Do you know anybody comparing with David at this time? And God has an everlasting covenant with him that is working up to today. And then the blind man said, have mercy on me. Who? Come on, who? And the Lord asked me a question. He said, how come the blind man knew he was son of David? He didn't read, he didn't know. How come the Pharisees and things didn't know? And when he addressed David by his covenant name, addressed Jesus, Jesus stopped. Immediately he called him son of David. Jesus stopped. He said, that's who I am. I'm the promised king on the seat of David. How come blind man? And the Lord said to me, for you to know my son, your natural eyes must be blind. So you can't know him with your natural eyes, with your natural senses. It's a mystery. That's why we treat Jesus like a talisman. Reveal to our spirit. They bring life and healing to all their body. Thank you. That's what it does. Let me say something. I want you to listen to me. It is your faith that gives action to the power of God. Let me repeat that again. It is your faith that gives what? Action to the power of God. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know the gospel, if you don't understand the word of grace, you won't have faith that gives power, that drives, gives it motion, that gives action to the power of God to make it work for you. It won't happen. People think, well, you know, I don't need to. So when I have a problem, I go to a man of God. No, you don't go. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says that Jesus could not heal them because they didn't have faith. If he couldn't heal them because they didn't have faith, it is the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and what? He said, because he said he marveled because of their unbelief. He could not heal them. And if Jesus couldn't heal them, I want you to show me a man more anointed than Jesus. That you are looking for. That's what's deceiving us. Look at Mark chapter 5, 24. Are you following me? Am I too harsh? I don't need your apologize to you. That's why you came. The truth is bitter, but it will help you. Praise the Lord. Mark 5:24. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd has suffered for how long? 12 years with constant bleeding. She has suffered a great deal from many doctors. From many doctors. And over the years, she has spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. That's an incurable situation. Then something happened. She heard about who? Is it not the same Jesus you've been hearing about? She heard about Jesus. And her faith rose. And she took action. Desperate action. About Jesus. About Jesus. Faith is acting on what you believe about Jesus. If she stayed home, nothing would happen. She moved. She heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd, touching his robe. Why touch his robe? Why not say, Master, pray for me? I passed through this. It's a difficult situation. Do you know, 12 years? No, I need to see him personally. This is something he has to pray about. Why didn't he do all that? Why did he go and say, the tip of his garment is all I want? Brethren, think about that. He realized who Jesus was and how much power he had. Do you know the same power is in the gospel? The Bible calls the gospel the power of God. The same gospel you spawn, you don't want to know. How can you put action to the power in the gospel? Is it not what Jesus said? You shall know the truth, and the truth what? If it doesn't have power, how does it set free? But are we interested in knowing? So he now came. What verse did I read last? Verse what? She heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd. She waded through obstacles and touched his robe, for she thought to herself. This is what she decided. She heard it. She came and she said, if I can just what? Touch his robe. She concluded what the result will be. That's faith. She decided that if I do this, this is what will happen. If touch his robe, I will be what? Who decided that? She did. How could she come to that conclusion about what she heard about Jesus? That's how she arrived at that conclusion. No pastor told her. No relative told her. Nobody told her. It is the knowledge of Christ that built such faith in Christ that the woman went through. Remember, in the Jewish culture, she wasn't supposed to be outside because she was bleeding. She waded through that crowd, touched, because she said, this is it. How many times have I prayed in the name of Jesus? And I haven't said, if only I pray his name, that is it. How many times? Have I prayed and said, the name of Jesus really works? If I ever pray his name about this thing, the answer is what? How many of us have come to that conclusion? If we really know who Jesus is, challenging us. We don't understand the gospel. God used that young boy. He said, do you know who I am? No. Pray in the name of Jesus. They have to do some more things. This woman said, no, I don't need any more things. All I need to do is what? Shim. Shall be made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, look, verse 31, his disciples said to him, look, are this crowd pressing around you? How can you ask who touched me? But Jesus kept on looking around. Verse 33, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And Jesus said to her, daughter, I healed you, go home. What happened? Your faith has made you well. It's you. Go in peace. Now, what gave action to that power of God? It's our faith that gives action to the power of God. You don't want to know this truth. You don't want to know Christ. You're not interested in knowing nothing. Others were pressing. Only one person came with faith. Many people trooped to church. But Jesus said, shall I find faith? Many people troop. Lord, we pray. Let us pray. Like grass on fire. And they go and say, the anointing moved. What is the result? But the anointing. I don't know how. Do you even have to be a Christian to be intelligent? She touched. That was the result. Peter said, no, faith in his name. Made this man to walk. We found who he is. Because we want to know him. Paul said that I might what? One more thing and I leave you. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. What's palsy? Doc? Paralysis, right? Hey, at least those of us who don't know, we should learn from you people. This is not mass. This is palsy. So it's paralysis. She was paralyzed, right? And then he said, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come. And what? If it's me, I'm going home. I say, you come now. You got to come, Jesus. Oh, he's coming to him. And he said, I'll hear him. I'm coming to hear him. So my problem is over. But listen to this man. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Remember, it's not a Jew. That was the thinking at the time. Under my roof. But speak the word what? Only. And my servant shall be made. Have we found the power in his word? That we can say his word is enough. I don't need any ritual. Have you discovered the power in his word? The same word you hear every day. It's not different. The gospel, the power of God, he said that is enough for me. Speak it. Hasn't Jesus spoken the word to us? How many times? That by my stripes I healed. I've delivered you from powers of Satan. Has he not said it? Have we found the power in that word that said, that's it? I don't need any more laying on the hand. I don't need anything again. There's power in what he said. Because it's your faith that will give action to the power in that word and make it work for you. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 10, Matthew 18. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, wow, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not even in Israel. Then verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast what? Believed, so be it done. Brethren, that's the way it concludes. He said, my servant shall be made whole. He said, the same way you believe, that's what's going to happen. And then what happened? And his servant was healed when? That same hour when he said, the angel speak the word and this will happen. Jesus said, go your way. The word is spoken. And then what the man believed happened. The woman came and said, if I touch, I shall be made. She touched. She was made whole. It's our faith that gives action to it. Makes it work. When you got saved, is it not that you believed? Then you activated your salvation. What else did you do to get saved? Nothing. But we must be people who are interested in knowing. That's what I'm saying. In knowing, in studying, so that we are not ashamed. You can't live a life. We don't live a life of like, beating about the bush. You're not even sure. Everything, try this one. You're not trying nothing. The Bible says don't live that kind of life. So don't live a life of beating about anything you grab, grasping this. No. We live like children of light. The steps of a good man is what? We know where we're headed. We understand what we're supposed to do. We know in whom we have believed. We know how this thing is ending. You're not telling me because I know him. If I pray his name, that's it. If he says anything to me, that's it. So I know how it's ending now. And I'm going to tack it down. And tack it down. Because the enemy will try my faith to see whether it's chaff. But when he tries, he sees the zinc has been thoroughly, there is not even space that comes up. The thing is, yeah. Let's bow our heads.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.